Welcome back, everyone. I know, we're feeling it as well. No racing at all. Matt looks gutted. He always has that sad look on his face. I don't know.
It's just my face. Please.
It's just my face. When life gets to you. But thank you for joining us. If you're listening, thank you very much. Please make sure you give us 5 stars, whether you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or if you're listening on something else, how old are you? If you're watching us on YouTube, thank you very much. Please make sure you subscribe, comment down below, get involved. We love it when you do that. And click like. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
Your favourite place.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I nailed all the social medias there. They're all in the description down below. But we're going to crack on. We do have lots to talk about, believe it or not, despite there being no races. There's been quite a lot of controversial things going on in the F1 world that we are going to discuss, and we do have a little mid-season review that we want to do of all the teams, all the drivers, so stick around.
All right, guys, welcome along. Right, Luke, how have you been? Before we get into all the latest news, how's things?
Yeah, good, feeling good. If you're again wondering why are you looking like a tomato? Maybe a bit puffy as well. I've just played football. If I ever look like I'm red and sweaty when we're filming Racecast, it's because I have been playing football just before.
You do stink, mate.
I probably do. So be grateful that you don't have to sit here with us.
We'll be grateful that I'm taking one for the team.
Yeah, exactly. What about you?
Yeah, all good. Just work, and a bit more work. I'm finally off this week. However, I was quite excited because I was having a bit of a spring clean yesterday, and as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, there's a few little added additions to the set.
So Matt is desperate to prove that he's not a Drive to Survive fan. Essentially, this is why he's brought these props along.
I went to a charity shop yesterday.
He's just picked them up.
No,
fresh
no,
from Oxfam.
No. And there is
who wants a Jenson Button autobiography?
Mate, I guarantee you, you'll read that when I go home later. You'll read that. That's actually a quite good read.
In fairness, it is. I don't know if you can see this. If you're listening, we are pointing to an autobiography of Jenson Button from his year at Braun.
It's a good book.
It was just 1 year at Braun that he did.
Yeah, anyway, it was a good book. It was a good book.
Yeah, no, I trust it was. What a season.
Yeah.
That was because it was such a weird season.
Yeah, and just to grow up, in December 2008, the Honda Racing F1 team for which Jenson Button had been driving since 2006 pulled the plug on their involvement in F1. Yet, incredibly, in October 2009...
Wait, he'd been driving for them for a whole 3 years?
Yeah, but remember... It
was such a long time. It's just actually three years.
No, but it was Honda Racing first, wasn't it? Before it became Braun.
Yeah, but that Jenson Button was racing for a whole 3 years.
Mate, people might not have read this.
No, yeah. And if you want it, you can have it.
It's paperback, $8.99. You probably find it cheaper now because this was at the time.
Inflation.
Oh, yeah, true.
It's probably worth $89.99 now.
Yeah, £9.20. But Jenson Button was crowned world champion and a new team that had risen from the ashes of the Honda team, Braun GP. See, but let me know now, have I sold it for you?
For some reason, I don't know why I remember this, but I always remember that we actually spoke about it in 2009. You wanted Barrichello to win because you felt because he had spent so long sort of like being...
At Ferrari, being a second driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but the thing is... Because
Jenson won it at... Was it at Brazil that he won it?
I think it was.
It was the last race of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had an amazing first half of the season, picked up all these points, and then other teams kind of got into it and they kind of diminished a bit.
Well, it was because they had the double diffuser and then didn't other teams sort of pick up on it, and they were like,
hang on, that looks quite good. That's working.
Yeah.
But no, it was phenomenal. But obviously, I wanted Jenson Button to win, British driver and everything. But I always had a soft spot for Rubens Barrichello just because he was a likable guy.
And it was his last season, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a likable guy. He looked like he was, good fun to be around. He was an excellent teammate to Michael Schumacher, in that Ferrari. And I wanted to see him succeed. I wanted to see him, actually for once, be the main driver. But he still couldn't do that either. But may I just say, very good book. I don't know. I don't read that often, to be fair. That probably doesn't surprise you. But no, definitely check it out. I like these autobiographies. I got Lewis Hamilton's one, when he won his first season with McLaren.
He said he hasn't read it, though.
No, yeah.
So how long ago did you get that?
Well, the back of the page...
2008, it must have been.
Yeah, but the back of the page
how
looks good.
How big is it?
It's actually quite a chunk, I tell you. It's quite a chunk. Also, in other news, look at this bad boy. Look, if you're looking on... I don't know if I can I can show you. I'll show you here. This is...
Hopefully that's focusing.
A Damon Hill... what was it? What year was this? I can't remember what year this was, actually.
He found this one.
1991.
That one was picked up from a scope, wasn't it?
Jordan.
Is that the one you got on Saturday?
Dickhead. I used to like collecting these. I used to have the Sauber as well, the 1998 Sauber.
I've got my little box of, like, because my parents gave me all my stuff, like my stuff from my childhood.
Yeah.
When they moved. I've got my box of cars in there. I've probably got a few F1 cars left.
Oh, do you know what?
I used to have a little McLaren. You know the one we were talking when Kimi Räikkönen used to race with them.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we just scrap playing online? And what we do, we make a little circuit on the floor, and then we just.
Wait, yeah, but like, how do you? What, we just push them around, or do we have to like roll a dice? And...
we have to roll a dice to actually see where they
are. That is what life used to be like. If you're 16 and you're watching this podcast.
You probably don't realise how...
We used to have to push cars around and shit. Like, we couldn't play games like that.
We had fun. Do you know what I used to do every season, right? My nan, we only discussed this yesterday as well. We used to have cutouts. So what they used to do at the beginning of the season, they used to have the cutout of the teams. So I used to cut them out and then just pretend to race them, basically.
Pieces of paper?
Yeah, mate.
Oh, see, life was so fucking sad, honestly. You should be so grateful for your technology.
You can actually sit there and, you know, you don't have to move.
You can actually race. You can buy a steering wheel,
yeah,
pedals, get a game, and you can actually sit in an F1 car.
I just had newspapers I cut out.
That,
I'll show you.
That is tragic, isn't it?
And finally, you may see as well, if you're watching YouTube, I'm pointing to a BMW Williams F1 team hat signed by Montoya.
It's not signed.
I say signed. It's stitched in. It's stitched in. But he signed it and then whichever.
Which, that, he was my favourite racer.
It's a good hat.
Do you know why? Have I said it on here before?
No.
It was because, do you remember? I don't know why. Because my dad would always get company cars. And he'd always had a BMW, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Privileged kid.
Right. Well, yeah. I can't help it. Do you know what I mean? It's not. I didn't choose to be... It's outrageous.
I didn't choose this life. The life chose me.
So, BMW Williams were my favourite team.
Oh, that's a good story, that.
Oh, that is, but, you know. And that, you know, he was my favourite driver.
It is dusty, though, to be fair.
It is. It looked a bit shit when you sent the picture.
Yeah.
But well, I think you cleaned it up, haven't you?
I've cleaned it up, yeah. It looks a bit rough, but
We should stop talking about us.
I like it. So, welcome along, everyone. Hope you're all good. Comment down below. Do you have any memorabilia which... you liked, or did you ever used to cut out the the cars in the paper?
Please, no, just me. Don't tell us that you did that. Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, the legends did that. Right, shall we talk about news? F1 news. Obviously, we don't have the race weekends for what, another 3 weeks now.
Actually, I just thought of a really funny story. I'm going back a long time now. I must have been like, I don't know, seven, six. I was playing. I'm pretty sure it was F1, the 2004 game.
Yeah.
And I was playing it with my cousin, who was younger than me at the time. And we were doing a race. It was on the PlayStation 2. And he was like, I really need to wee. I was like, nah, we're finishing the race. Got to go to the end. And we raced. I made him stay, like, racing me until the end. Obviously, I fucking smoked him. And he, like, ran to the toilet and he just, like, called my name. And I went in there and he just pissed himself. I don't know why I just remembered that. But I was like, you're right there. He just stood by the toilet and pissed himself.
What the hell is this podcast going
to?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know why that just came back to me.
I mean, normally they come to us for intellectual discussions.
Yeah,
but now you've got your cousin pissing himself. Was that Corey?
No, it wasn't. It was bleep the name. Just in case he doesn't want his name out there. But yeah.
Okay, good story. I like that. Again, comment down below. Have you had a custom piss yourself? Let us know. Right, let's talk about F1 news. So, Bonotto has come out and basically said there's no reason why Ferrari should change approach in the second half of 2022. this is obviously Bonotto's fourth season in charge. And despite mounting pressure, to be fair, this guy is under a lot of pressure and poor strategy calls and dubious reliability, he remains confident that the team are on the right track. He's basically said, there's nothing to change. I think it's always a matter of confidence, learning, building experience and building skills. See, other than that, we're pretty good.
They're on the right track. They're not even on the track half the time. They've got so many problems. That is, you see what I do really dislike in teams or like leadership, and I'm not sure why they do it in sports sometimes. Not everyone does, and I think we all really appreciate honesty, like you were saying when Charles came out criticized the team. I hate it when people come out with this sort of like blind delusion of like, oh, you know, we don't need to change anything. Mate, what he should be saying is like, yeah, you know, there's been some really bad calls over the first half of the season. The cars had some issues. We do need to look into what's going on, and we've got, you know, the summer break to address this, and hopefully we're going to come back fighting. I think every single Ferrari fan, because Ferrari fans are definitely the most passionate, because I know it's a huge thing in Italy. They would listen to that, and that would wind them up. Wind me up.
Can you imagine Sean Todd, right, when he was running Ferrari, going, oh yeah, everything's good? He wouldn't tolerate that.
I think Bonotto's leadership skills have been questioned a handful of times over the past few seasons.
I get it. Okay, I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to protect his team. He's trying to deflect the blame off his team, so he takes the pressure. I get that, and that's part of it.
They're not taking any blame there. Do you know what I mean?
No.
That's almost like him saying, oh, what are you talking about? There's nothing wrong here.
And the worrying thing is, if they're going to have the same approach going in the second half of the season, I mean, they're going to get third in the constructors.
Yeah. You can kiss goodbye to second, and you might as well just give Max the title now.
Unless this is like a little smokescreen here going, oh no, we're all good, and behind the scenes they're like, right, this is what we're going to change.
Perhaps they are, but do you know what I mean? Like, coming out and saying that, it's like,
you're not going to get any more fans from that.
It's like, mate, we can all see that you're a bit muddied at the moment. Yeah. Like, be real with us.
You're not going to get fans from that, because, like you say, Ferrari fans, if they're listening to that, they're going to go, well, we're screwed then. You know, if this is what they're thinking, it's good.
Yeah.
They won't tolerate that.
They're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm not just going to, you know, why would you just carry on in the same way? That's mental to me. But I'm sure that there's got to be changes going on behind the scenes.
Race 16, do that thing again, you know, the spin. Yeah, do that again. Spin off, blame yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, drivers, do you reckon that was Charles's fault?
Yeah. I think, and I loved his honesty in that. I would kind of like, you know, that practical jokers. Have you seen that meme of like, tell me we're going to do that. Do it again.
Yeah.
I think it would be good. Bonotto, if this is what you feel, then I have real concerns for your future, and I have real concerns for the future of the team.
That's the thing. He's either lying or he's stupid.
Which one do you think?
I don't think he's stupid.
So you think he's lying?
I do, yeah.
So you just think he's just trying to deflect all the pressure of his team, go have a good summer, come back refreshed, and then build from there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what their plan is, but they can't just come back as they were.
No.
4 weeks off isn't going to make them good. Do you know what I mean? Like, just because they've had a few days to lay by the pool.
I wonder if, obviously, the new F1 manager game comes out this month. Do you think he's going to give that to the strategist and go, right, go and play that for the next couple of weeks?
He should get on it. He could learn a thing or two.
That looks like a good game, to be fair.
Yeah, might cop it.
Yeah. So, guys, let us know. Do you believe Bonotto? Are you a bit worried if you're a Ferrari fan?
And the thing is that might have looked like we've just laid into them, but it's because I actually want to see Ferrari do well. Do you know what I mean? After so many years, they've finally got a car that is quality. It's the best car on the grid.
Yeah.
Let's not waste it. Come on.
You know,
get the team in order and go out and smash it. There's still half a season to play for here, and anything can happen.
This was their best opportunity to win something this year.
And the opportunity, although slim, is still there.
It's still there. Yes.
And the thing is, right, okay, if the first half of the season is a write-off, come back for the second half, give it everything. And at least then people are like, well, at least they went down fighting. Do you know what I mean?
Spa will be a real big insight to see whether they've learnt. If they show similar mistakes in Spa, their second half of the season is gone.
Yeah.
They've got 4 weeks to turn this around. And Spa is such a big race for them to actually come back from the summer break and go, okay, yes, we're now contenders again. If they have an awful race that weekend, as far as I'm concerned, their season's done.
Curtains.
Yeah, done. Been it. But guys, let us know. Other news. Obviously, this was, we spoke about Alonso joining Aston Martin. We thought that, oh, Piastri would join Alpine. Surprisingly.
it was annoying because the podcast came out on the, when did we record it?
Wednesday.
We recorded it on the
Monday.
And then the news came out on the Wednesday, didn't it?
When the episode was going out, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally an hour before something.
Everyone was like, decided, these guys have internet?
Yeah. You do know Piastri has said no. Let's quickly touch on that. What a weird move. I found it, when I saw Alpine announce that they had signed Piastri, I was thinking, do you know what? Good move. I was quite happy with that. I thought, brilliant. Within like a couple of hours later, Piastri comes out going, I don't know what they want about. I haven't signed a contract and I will not be driving for Alpine in 2023.
He called it cap, instantly. I mean, to be honest, I can't work out whether I respect it or not. I've been a little bit on the fence about it.
They still haven't deleted the tweet.
What, announcing it?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, right, this team is a team that's done a lot for him.
Yeah.
I was reading stuff by Otmar, not going to attempt the surname, where he was saying, we've actually given him this opportunity. We kind of expected there to be a level of respect between us. But then at the same time, I understand it from Piastri's point of view, where if he's never actually agreed to race for them next season, surely they can't just go out and be like, yeah, he's racing for us.
Yeah, it's a weird move, isn't it? And so there's two aspects to this. Is, like you touched on there, from his aspect, he's had a team who have invested so much time in him, and then and they're not a bad team. They're a top 4 or 5 team on the grid.
Yeah, no.
Between them and McLaren, they're a top.
Only thing that McLaren have, in my opinion, over Alpine, which I mean, they should just call themselves Renault. Yeah. Is literally the name and the history behind it. I race for McLaren. Even if it was Renault, you say, oh, I race for Renault. McLaren has that.
Yeah.
It has that stature.
I get
but
it.
But currently, you'd probably rather drive an Alpine.
Yeah, I would. I think they've got more to offer and they've got more to build on.
Yeah.
But I did find it quite disappointing from... And embarrassing from a team of that stature already, Alpine, that they're coming out. And it makes them look ridiculous. Otmar, I'm not being funny. I don't think he's the guy to lead a team forward. In the sense of, you look at, for example, Hungary. He was coming out after, oh, Martin, yeah, come and speak to me when we're on the podium. They screwed their strategy, and next thing they're like 8th and 9th or something. You make a mockery of it, and
we have also, God, this is just a podcast full of criticizing, but we've also criticized him for maybe not being tough enough on the drivers.
Yeah, with the just allowing to race.
But I mean, I don't know. If I was Piastri, if McLaren had come knocking for me. Even though I believe, I think it's obvious that Alpine is a better car at the moment, I would find it hard to say no to that McLaren seat.
Yeah. But where did that come from? Because let's quickly touch on that. So after this all happened, it was announced that it looks like McLaren are going to try and terminate Danny Ric's contract for 2023, which, again, is embarrassing from a McLaren point of view, if this is true. And I want to say if this is true, because this is just reports at the moment. But the
guarantee by the time the podcast come out,
it's already announced. It's already announced. Yeah. So if it is true, just enjoy the podcast. But Zach Brown, obviously in Monaco, slated Danny Rick, saying, you know, we have the right to terminate, you know, we can do that. Then two races later, oh yeah, we're best friends. Oh, he'd be with us in 2023. You know, I like Danny Rick. Don't get me wrong. Do I think he deserves to be at McLaren? No, because of his performances. But the level of respect has got to be there. And if you're a team principal...
Do you know how much they're going to have to pay him?
Oh, no.
It's don't hold me to this, but I read this somewhere. It's like $20 million. That's what they'd have to pay.
May as well keep him for another season.
Mate, you honestly might as well, right? Tap up Piastri,
yeah.
Right? Get him to sign with Alpine. Say, mate, do a one-year deal. After that year, you can come over here. We'll give you this. You know, we can sign it all. I don't know. There's probably some legalities behind that that mean that can't happen. But do you know what I mean? 20 mil, that's money that's going to come out of their budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so that's as far as I'm aware, that's coming out of their cost cap.
Yeah. Answer me this, okay. So who do you think's in the wrong? Alpine or Piastri? Who do you think comes out worse?
The problem is, right, is it's embarrassing for Alpine. Alpine should make sure they have an agreement in place with the driver before announcing anything.
Do you think they did that to put pressure on Piastri, knowing that, oh, actually, I've announced it, I'll just sign with them? Because they knew maybe that, oh, he might actually be going somewhere else.
That honestly is a small cock move. If that's why they've done it.
Quickly, it's like if you're trying to date a girl who's never going to date you. Yeah, yeah, we're dating.
Yeah, yeah, like, it just I don't really understand why they would do it. Not having it all in place first, not having sat down with him. But then, don't get me wrong, Alpine found out that Alonso was going to Aston Martin via the press release. So it's just been like a string of shit.
It is embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
You know, okay, Alonso left without telling them. Alpine then signed someone without telling them. The other guy was then like, that never happened. Now, he might be going to McLaren, who are apparently sacking Danny Rick, even though they told him he's going to be there next season. It's just like, what the fuck is happening?
I liked it after that. McLaren then put a tweet, where would you go on holiday with Danny Rick and Lando Norris or something? And there's like, yeah, not now. Yeah, yeah, it's not the time, not the time, considering you're...
Oh, yeah, they did that little picture, didn't they? But yeah, that it's a really strange situation. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds over the next 4 weeks.
Well, you won't have to worry. It'll be out Wednesday when this episode goes out.
Yeah, that's true. We tend to like spur things like this on. When we talk about it and we speculate, so it's already revealed by the time the podcast comes out.
McLaren, whose side are you on? Danny Rick's or McLaren's side? And I mean, is Piastri really a McLaren type of driver, do you think?
Honestly, I can't lie. I haven't seen enough of him. Now, I have watched... If I'm downstairs watching TV and the F2 is on... I know he hasn't raced in it this season, but last season he was in it. I would flick it on. I don't know what defines a McLaren-type driver. What I do know is that he's quick.
Yeah.
He's young and full of potential. So... at the moment, they've got that in Lando. Lando obviously has the F1 experience. They've tried the experienced guy with the history in the sport. Also, who did have the potential behind him, and it didn't work out. You know, why not try the other end of the scale?
Yeah. Another question to this. So Alpine has obviously lost Alonso, that experience there. If Danny Rick leaves McLaren, you've lost that experience there. Or experience, I say. Is Ocon ready to lead a team?
It depends who comes in. I mean, you talk about leading a team. Technically, Lando is leading McLaren. He's very young.
But Matt, being that experienced driver in that team.
I don't... What, so you're saying, say, like, if they had Ocon and Piastri,
Yeah.
Ocon's been in it enough. He's won a race.
Yeah.
You know, on in those terms, he's got the same amount of experience as Lando.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily you need a team where you've got an experienced driver. No. And then, because, okay, and I know this might seem like a bad analogy. Well, he kind of was experienced. But like, think when you had Fernando and Lewis at McLaren, they were still, I mean, Lewis was really young. Fernando was still young.
Yeah, but Fernando was a two-time world champion.
I know, but...
No experience enough to win.
No, no, but okay, so say you come in and you're in F1 for two seasons and you win your first two championships.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily make you an experienced driver.
No, no, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Not someone that's had got years and years under their belt. And I know, I can't remember when Alonso came into the sport. It was early, like, 2000s, wasn't it? But yeah, and, you know, it worked pretty well. I think, yeah, sometimes it's nice just to have two young drivers who are actually going to be really exciting to watch.
Yeah, and, no, I agree.
You know, you never know what you're going to get from them.
But it's like when Lando came into sport, he was with Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
You know, that worked a treat. Obviously, Lando is a bit different now. He's matured a lot. Yeah. He's been in the sport a while. He's got that experience. What would be interesting to see if Piastri does come into that McLaren seat is the dynamic between them. Because obviously Lando's got that pressure on him to win his first race.
Yeah.
Not necessarily win a title, but he's got that pressure on him that he wants to win that first race.
And also, he's got a lot less pressure on him at the moment because he's so easily outperforming Danny Ric.
Oh, Danny Ric is so poor. Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, if Piastri comes in and starts, you know, actually, you know, 35% of the time he's beating Norris. I know Norris would still be up 65 to 35 or whatever. But that's going to change the dynamic all of a sudden. And then, yeah, there is more pressure. Well, what if Piastri gets the win before me? And
yeah.
But I personally think it would work out well for the team. If McLaren get Piastri, I think they're in a really good position.
I think it'd be an exciting team. I think.
But then who do Alpine get?
Danny Ric.
I think that makes sense, personally.
It'd just be a waste.
These
two teams, right, are the fourth, fifth best team in the standings. Okay, so you know, Danny Ric isn't performing at McLaren, and you're like, oh, do you know what? Yeah, I'll put him in an Alpine.
Yeah,
McLaren probably be delighted.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why I said that. I just feel bad for Danny Ric.
Can you make an apology for that?
That was a terrible call. it really doesn't make sense. And is why I'm not the man in charge.
Have you been around Ferrari too long?
It would seem that way.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, Piastri to McLaren, I'm vibing with it. I like it. And I actually want to see it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
But I would hate to, I don't know, something inside me doesn't like the idea of Danny Ric not having a seat next season.
So who would you want to see go to Alpine then?
Well, I'd like to see Danny Ric, but it doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't even know. I don't know where they look. They're going to have to look to younger drivers. They're going to have to look to...
Would someone like Mick Schumacher fit into that?
Well, because, yeah, he hasn't got a seat next season, has he?
No, K-Mag has, not Mick. And there was some reports suggesting that potentially Mick could go...
Well, because Mick apparently was suggesting, like, someone asked him about going to Aston Martin. He was like, never say never or something.
Well, he ain't going there, is he?
Well, not anymore, but...
He's a young driver, could potentially go to somewhere like Alpine. Then Danny Ric... To Haas?
Yeah. Oh, God, it's, you know...
It's all over the place. It is literally... I know we go on about this, like, in the summers and stuff. Oh, you get all this... But this year seems to be completely...
Oh, it's well weird.
It's mental. I don't really know what's going on, and I'm a bit confused.
What I like is how iconic Piastri's tweet became.
Yeah.
Like, there were, like, football clubs announcing players using, like, that format, and I thought it was... I don't know, it's just executed so well. It wasn't even meant to be funny.
No.
But it was funny.
Finish it, guys. Let us know what you think. Do you think Danny Ric has been unfairly treated? Should he leave McLaren? Will Piastri go to McLaren? Who will go into Alpine C? All these answers will be unveiled over the next few weeks.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Just finishing on the final news, Sergio Perez has claimed he still wants to stay in F1 after his current Red Bull deal comes to an end. Obviously, he has signed a contract until the end of 2024. I believe, but he's admitted he's too young to stop and he's still having too much fun to walk away from F1. Obviously, I can't see him staying in Red Bull past his current contract.
No, I don't see him there. I can definitely see him at another team.
Yeah, I see.
He's still good.
I could see him in the team somewhere like Alpine.
Yeah, or, that sort of.
I mean, I could even see him in a McLaren.
Yeah. But then if they do bring in someone like Piastri, in theory, you've got like two young drivers that you can have for a while.
You know, I don't think he deserves to go any lower than those teams. But who knows what's going to happen? Because you may see Aston Martin, they come through the ranks. If Alonso retires, you may see...
And it's another 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, Perez may drop off.
Yeah, no, true. Very true.
You never know. But what I actually have here, right?
I love this. Luke has actually come with facts. And he actually had his laptop out earlier, which is even more of a shock.
It's just, I want to do a mid-season review, right? And what I mean is, look, we know where everyone is in the constructors. You know, we know Red Bull are at the top, Williams are at the bottom. Oh. But what I want to look at is the actual teams individually. So, you know, who's outperforming who within these teams? Because I know we've spoken about teammates. But I just think, I saw it on, I don't know if you've heard of it, a website called Reddit.
Oh, yeah? Well, what's that about?
It's just like a forum or something. Don't really know. Oh. But they compare, like, every individual racer within teams, so like Max, Perez, to each other, how they've performed throughout the season. And what I want to do is I'm going to go through it and I'm going to get you to guess as well what you think. Because I was surprised by some of these. I was like, no way. I was like, he's definitely performed better.
Yeah.
And then you look at the stats and actually realise you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. I haven't guessed you.
I guarantee you'll get some of these wrong, right?
Oh, and by the way, just before we continue this, can I just say, shortly we're going to be talking about Lewis Hamilton and we are going to be bringing up Abu Dhabi again because Lewis Hamilton has come out over the last week and he's had some comments about what happened in Abu Dhabi. So stay tuned for that. But Luke, sorry, continue.
And also, while I'm here, next week we are doing our top 20, our like all-time grid, right? We want you to get involved. Give us people that have to be on there. You can DM us, email us, leave a comment down below. But you have to get involved and let us know who needs to be on that grid, the top 20 of all time. Don't miss it. Anyway. So, the current head-to-head going into the summer break, Red Bull, in the race, right? Obviously, we've had, 13 races?
Yep.
Verstappen, Perez, who's come out on top most?
Verstappen.
Yeah. Do you know to what?
Are you talking about race-wise?
Yeah.
So how many races we had? We've had, 11?
More than that.
13 races.
13 races.
I would say Max is 9-4 up. But are you still there?
Max is actually... No, I was just trying to work it out. Because Max is actually 9-3 up, but it's because they both DNF'd in the first race.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so
yeah.
I was trying to work that out in my head, like, what's going on. So what about qualifying?
Max, I'd probably say 10-3.
Yeah. Like that. That's actually good. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
And you can have the first one because... The DNF was obviously, that was complicated. Cool. So, Charles and Carlos, this is where it gets a bit interesting, in my opinion. The race.
So, I believe Carlos is ahead. So, they had DNFs, haven't they? So,
I'll make it easy for you. There's one race where they've both DNF'd.
Okay, so I'd probably say 8-5.
What that?
Oh, no, sorry, 8-4.
8-4. It's actually 6-all.
Is it?
Yeah. But I actually thought Leclerc was clear.
No. Yeah, no.
Which, it just surprised me because you go to qualifying, Leclerc is 10-3 up.
Yeah, he's dominated in qualifying. Race-wise, he's struggled, I think.
But he's had 3 DNFs. Carlos had 4. You know, and then you go back to the Red Bulls, Max 2, Perez 3, Lewis and George.
So I know George, race-wise, was quite a way clear from Lewis. However, I think they are pretty close. I think it's like 7-6 or something.
To
George?
It is exactly 7-6.
Is it? To
George. It's also the same for qualifying. George is 7-6 up. But interestingly, Lewis has 6 podiums. How many does George have?
Oh, he says like 4? Or 5. 3? 5, yeah.
So he's had one less. And what's George's best race finish?
Third.
Yeah. Lewis?
Second.
Yeah. I just...
I only watched Hungary last week.
So it's like, how do we categorise like how a driver is doing well? You know, okay, George has one more win over Lewis in that respect. But Lewis has the better race finish.
I think you have to look at it. I don't think you can always go by stats. And the reason why I say that is you look, for example, in Barcelona, okay? Hamilton got taken out by K-Mag. He was then and putting in through towards the end of the race, flying laps, and he managed to get his way back. If he hadn't had that crash at the beginning, who know where he would have finished?
Lewis would have won that race.
His performances this season have been... They've got better and better. So, for my opinion, Lewis is performing better than George in the sense of you look at some of his performances and he's been quite unlucky with accidents and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Qualifying, for example.
Saudi Arabia, when Bono was coming to the pit because Danny Rick had broken down just before it. And he was driving past it.
And that's not me saying because I'm a Hamilton fan, but I just think on a whole, George has been very consistent and I think he's done a fantastic job. But I think when you look at the performances, where you look at race pace and the way they've made strategies worked and tyre management and everything, I think Lewis has just done a better job.
I do think most people watching now, if they are able to take an unbiased view, would agree with that. I do think it's, you know, everyone was a bit worried at the start of the season, particularly us Lewis fans, shit.
And I think it shows recently. He's had, 4 podiums out of the last few races?
Yeah, and he's finished second in the last 2 races. And
that last race in Hungary, you know, he started, 7th? And he went under the radar and he came out and he put in a phenomenal performance. For me, I would say you can't always look at stats and I don't think they always reflect how a driver is performing, especially this type of year where everything is so new.
Well, I think these stats are actually going to represent what is happening.
Okay.
As we move to McLaren.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, you know, Norris wins against each other?
It's like 9-4, is it?
I reckon he's looked at this. This winding me up.
I haven't looked at him.
Glad I didn't offer you anything for this.
Piastri did, though.
So what about qualifying?
Is it like 11-3?
Well, that would equal 14.
Oh, 11-2, sorry.
Is there a fucking mirror behind me?
No way, did I get that right?
Now, this is some bullshit. You can see this somewhere.
No, I haven't.
You got an earpiece in?
Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers, George.
That is taking the piss.
Is that right?
Yes, it's fucking right. I don't know how you've done that. Okay, now this is the one that at the beginning I was talking about. This is the one that actually really caught me out.
Okay.
Alonso, Ocon. head-to-head on the race?
I would go Ocon. Oh, no, I'm not cheating.
Just turn him.
And I would say 9-4.
No, you stupid idiot. 8-5.
So one off.
You were well out. yeah, see, but I really thought Fernando was outdoing.
No, he's had like some awful results.
But then in qualifying, it's the opposite. It's 8-5 to Fernando.
Yeah, on a whole qualifying, I think he's looked very good. But Ocon has been very consistent and under the radar. How many times do you look at it and go, where's Ocon finished?
No, and this is seven, the thing. Like, sixth. That one really did throw me. This one, I didn't realise it was this one-sided.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is Bottas versus Zhou. Now, disclaimer, Zhou has had 5 DNFs. But okay, Bottas has had 3.
Yeah.
So it's not too much in it, despite, you know, everyone thinking Guanyu Zhou has really bad luck. Bottas hasn't been amazing either.
No.
3 DNFs is still pretty bad. What do you reckon it is? Head-to-head on the race.
You're probably looking at like 12-1, 11-1, 11-2.
10-2. There must 10-2. Be one race when they both
DNF'd. Yeah, DNF'd.
And then the quali is 10-3. So yeah, I mean... Bottas may be showing...
If that's not dominant, I don't know what it is.
You know, Zhou, rookie season.
That's like me and you versus go-karting. I just completely destroy you.
I would smoke you. That would be embarrassing. Bottas, obviously, I think, you know, showing his class.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Showing
that
he is, you know... He did deserve that Mercedes seat.
Oh, he did, yeah.
But yeah, I really did not know that was that one-sided. And now here's another really interesting one.
Okay.
The Haas boys. K-Mag, Schumacher. And I actually want to start with quali this time, head-to-head.
Okay, so I'd probably say K-Mag. And I'd probably say 8-5.
K-Mag, 11-2.
Is it?
11. So that means over a single lap, what even is that percentage-wise? It's like 80, between 80-90% of the time, he's been quicker.
Why did you have to go down that road? You were never going to get the percentage right, were you?
I was trying to work it out in my head. It'd be like 13 divided by...
Let's just move on.
Something.
You'll embarrass yourself.
13... Divided anyway. yeah. But then when it comes to the race.
See, I think Mick is slightly better. So I'd probably say.
Wait, and I'll help you here. One race, they have both DNF'd.
Okay, so that's 12. I would probably say 7-5.
This is fucking bollocks. You can see it from somewhere.
I can't see.
Is it K-Mag telling you?
Thanks, mate. Yeah. I'm good at this, aren't I?
No, because you're cheating somehow.
How am I cheating?
You can see it in the window.
No, I just got it on my laptop in front of me. I haven't really. I'm good at this.
Ridiculous. Yeah, although K-Mag has had 4 DNFs.
All right. Well, I still got it right though, didn't I?
Yeah, no, I'm speaking.
Luke hates when I get things right. You're noticing his actual voice. It really pisses him off.
I bet you don't get this one right.
All right.
Gasly Tsunoda.
All right, if I get this right, what do I get?
My respect.
I don't need that.
What?
No one wants your respect.
Of course they do.
Come on, give me a good prize.
I'll put the can that you've left here for about 4 weeks in the recycling bin rather than the rubbish bin.
That sounds like a good one. Yeah.
So you're doing something for the environment.
So Gasly Tsunoda, were you talking qualifying or race?
Race.
So race, I would probably say Tsunoda edges it. And
if you get it right, I'll buy you a new house.
So that's Gasly then. I'd go Gasly. And I would probably say 8.5.
Now that's bullshit. You can see somewhere. There's an actual mirror. Where is it?
Wow, you're buying me a new house.
There's someone behind me.
Who's here? I got that right.
Nah, I pulled the double bluff.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. It was 8.5.
Was it?
All right, no, I'll only buy you the house if you get the qualifying right.
Oh, no, that wasn't the agreement. Mate, right, hang on.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's drunk, I think.
Oh, yeah, bullshit. Qualifying. So I'd probably say Sonoda, and I would go...
I'll buy you a 6-bedroom house.
So I'll say Gasly.
I'll buy you an 8-bedroom house.
No, I'm going to stick with Sonoda, and I would say... Seven, six.
Merked you. Idiot. 8.5 Gasly.
Is it?
See, you have to wake up pretty early to get things past me. Another... you know what? I do think this one is kind of interesting. Because I thought it was a bit more even than this. Lance Stroll, Seb?
No, see, I think Stroll has edged it.
In the race?
In the race. And I would go... 8.7. That wouldn't even make sense, would it? 8.7.
No.
8.5. That's what I mean. 8.5.
It's actually 6.5 to Vettel.
Oh, is it?
So 6.5 would...
It would have been 7.5 if
they've had
Stroll hadn't let Vettel pass in Hungary.
They've had two DNFs. Two races where they've both DNF'd. Or not, because Lance Stroll's only had one DNF.
Let's move on, qualifying.
Why does this make no sense? This is just mental. Qualifying, yeah. Interesting, this, actually, because in my mind... All I ever hear is Seb's engineers on to him saying, sorry, mate, you just missed out on Q2. And he's like, no.
I'd say Stroll has edged it.
8.3 to Seb.
Oh.
That might be it. Seb didn't race in the first race of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And then they've had a race where they've both DNF'd.
There you go.
Fucking hell, I'm sharp, man.
Well, it takes you 5 minutes after the question.
No, it was just sitting there, it's festering. Now, this one, I think you're going to get quite easily. Albon Latifi.
Oh, I wonder. I'd say Albon.
In the race.
In a race. I mean, it's got to be something like 11.2 or something.
10.3.
Oh, do you know what I was going to say? 10.3. Shit a brick.
Do you know what it was? 11.2?
Qualifying.
Yes. But...
Oh, but you said to me qualifying, didn't you?
No.
Oh, worth trying.
Play it back. Give a replay. But what I actually want to draw from that is... Now, 10.3 is actually only one worse than what Lando has with Ricciardo.
Yeah.
You know, that's 9.4. Or you can go to the Bottas and Zhou thing, 10.2.
Yeah.
If
you're trying to work out that actually Latifi is a goat.
No. We've definitely agreed that, you know, Latifi, you've had a good run, lad. Now go to like IndyCar or something. But, you know, I think it was actually quite hot. It highlighted quite well that actually there are quite a lot of disparities throughout the teams. And maybe Latifi gets a hard time because that car is so bad. So he's always last.
Yeah. No, okay.
So, you know, he's the worst of the two teammates, but he's also in the slowest car. So he gets a really tough time. But, you know, Danny Ric is performing, in terms of teammate to teammate, nearly as badly. Zhou... Don't want to go in too hard on him. It's his rookie season. I would still give him another season. Personally, he has had a lot of bad luck. But he's performing equally as worse.
Yeah, no.
Up against his teammate. And, you know, that's something that the teams have got to look at and think. But then I guess it's low-key unfair because then if you look at, like, Verstappen-Perez. He got a 9-3 there.
But then
is that sort of different because it's Verstappen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just found it really interesting looking.
So I did quite well, actually.
You actually did really annoyingly well. I think you must have looked at it before.
Yeah, I did.
But I do have another thing, right? And as we're at that midway point of the season, we've discussed a lot about reliability throughout the time, how it's hampered Ferrari season. We know that it's hampered Ferrari-powered cars season. Yeah. But Red Bull have had issues. And then we've actually praised the Mercedes reliability. So, if we're talking about teams' laps driven, right? So which teams have driven the most laps this season?
Mercedes first?
It's not. First is McLaren. They've driven 97.6% of the laps this season.
Have they?
Which I thought it's quite interesting, but it's a testament to the reliability, but also the consistency of the drivers.
Yeah.
So who's second?
Mercedes.
Aston Martin.
What?
Yep, they've driven 96.7% of all laps this season.
But Mercedes haven't retired this year, have they?
George Russell? Silverstone?
Oh, yeah. Okay. But then Aston Martin have had... They've retired more, surely.
Look, buddy, I don't make the rules.
This is rubbish.
No, this is what the stats say. Teams' laps completed this season. McLaren leads with 97.6% laps completed. But who comes third then?
You're probably going to say Williams.
No, it's Mercedes.
Oh, you're such a dick. I was thinking, because I was like, the way you said it, I was like, it surely can't be.
96.6%. Do you know what's interesting? Top three teams. Who powers them?
Mercedes.
Yeah. So that's a testament to Mercedes' reliability.
They're now, crap on pace, but they're really good for reliability.
Yeah. I mean, Williams are obviously 90%. I think that's actually because for like the first three races, didn't Latifi just bin it?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Saudi Arabia. I don't know what happened.
I don't think that's actually a reliability issue with the car, so to speak. You know, and I won't go through the rest, but the bottom three teams.
Ferrari?
They're the bottom. 81.9% of all laps they've completed. To put that into comparison to Red Bull, 91%.
Is it?
That's where the points are coming from.
Then I would go Haas.
Yeah. 85%.
Both Ferrari engines. And then I would go Red Bull.
There's a much more obvious one.
Alfa Romeo.
Alfa Romeo. 85.2%. The bottom three, which none of them have completed more than 86%.
That's pretty mad, isn't it?
Of all laps available. And they're all Ferrari powered. But according to Binotto, they are right on track. So, yeah, I don't know. Let the stats talk. That's what I say.
I like that. Well done. Well done. You brought something to the table.
I do scroll through it every week.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are things that capture me.
Right. Shall we quickly? I've got a quiz for you quickly. Five questions. Quick fire. We're going to talk about Lewis Hamilton, Abu Dhabi. And then we've got fan questions.
Okay.
We've already been talking 55 minutes. How is this possible?
Yeah, I know.
Right, so quiz, play at home. Get your notepad out, if people have notepads now.
And then send it to our PO box.
Yeah. I'll give you a link in the description, yeah. Luke's address. And his mobile number. So question one, in which country was the term Grand Prix first used for a motor race?
I mean, that's got to be France.
Congratulations, well done. Which driver holds the longest streak of consecutive wins? And how many wins?
Oh, that's Seb with 9 wins.
Well done. British racing driver George Russell made his F1 debut in which Grand Prix?
Come on.
Year and Grand Prix.
Okay, it was 2019. He won the F2 in 2018. First race. Well, I'm just going to say Australia.
Congratulations. 3 out of 3. Look at this. At the 2005 United States Grand Prix, how many cars lined up on the grid?
2005?
Yeah, I knew this because I watched this the other day, actually.
Fucking hell, I was 9 years old. Well, I'm pretty sure at the time there was 24 cars.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say 24. I don't know if it was a trick question.
Six.
What happened?
So I think it was Bridgestone. I can't remember which one.
Oh, was this when they had the thing with the tyres?
Yeah, they wouldn't allow them to race or something. So tyres. So it was literally the Ferraris. I can't remember the other.
Yeah, but back then, didn't teams race on different tyres?
Yeah. So you had Bridgestone, Michelin.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one it was. It was either Bridgestone or Michelin wouldn't allow them to race because it wasn't safe.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Go and watch the video. It's amazing to watch. It was Michael Schumacher. It was the Ferraris. And I can't remember the other cars who were on the pit, on the pitch, on the track.
Pitch.
So 3 out of 4, not bad. Which team was owned by a family who run a worldwide chain of clothing stores of the same name?
Which...
which team was owned by a family who run a worldwide chain of clothing stores of the same name?
Oh, is this going to be one where I'm going to kick myself?
Potentially. When I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, okay.
Can you give me the era of the team?
No.
Oh right. Thanks. Surely you can.
I can give you a driver who raced for them. Fisichella.
That doesn't really help. Only like vividly remember him in a fucking Renault. Well, if it's Fisichella, it's got to be like 2000.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm going to say Jordan is because...
Benetton.
United Colours of Benetton. Damn it, that's so annoying. I would have known that. You're racing the Benetton? What, alongside Damon Hill?
Damon Hill?
No, he wasn't in the Benetton.
He wasn't in the fucking Benetton. What are you on about? Right, so...
I'm thinking Michael Schumacher.
Fisichella. Right, so Fisichella. Let me tell you about him, if you don't know who he is. Love this guy.
Giancarlo Fisichella.
So he was in the Benetton from 1998 to 2001. He actually was in Jordan in 1997.
I knew he raced at Jordan, and I just didn't know what that brand was.
He did actually come back in 2002 to 2003, actually.
Fisichella?
Yeah. To Jordan. Do you know what...
Yeah, that's where I would have remembered him from.
Do you know what his last team was he drove for in 2009?
Oh, I just don't.
Ferrari. Because remember, he was a test driver in the end, wasn't he? Reserve driver in 2010.
Yeah, but who was the last team he actually raced for?
Ferrari. He drove for them for 2009.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He raced for Ferrari in 2009?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Why do I not remember that?
I don't know. Have a look at that. Fisichella signed a contract at Ferrari as a Ferrari driver for the remainder of 2009 season and a reserve driver for the 2010 on the 3rd of September 2009. So he didn't race loads, but he was a Ferrari driver.
Was that after Massa took the spring to the head then?
Potentially. Oh, I still watch that. That's mad.
That was awful.
That is mental. But yeah, I like
they must have got him in to replace Massa then.
Potentially. Yeah, I honestly couldn't tell you. I can't remember without having to really go into it. And I don't think people at home want to be just like...
Yeah, yeah. Go on Wikipedia if you do.
Yeah, well, I'm on Wikipedia now. So, the big news. Lewis Hamilton. Did you enjoy that? Well done, Lou. Well done. 3 out of 5. Not bad.
Yeah, I thought that was quite good.
Yeah,
it was. And I got the team right who you raced for.
You did? Well done, mate.
You know, it was the wrong team. And if you know, like, who the fuck is Jordan? Does anyone know?
Yeah, Jordan.
No, I know there, but as in,
wasn't
like,
she the Page 3 model, Katie Price?
Yeah, but like, I'm pretty sure the team wasn't named after her.
It was, yeah.
Like, you know what was Jordan?
Eddie Jordan. It was his team.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, like, we are going back a long time.
God, you're an idiot.
I was a little boy.
Right, let's move on. Lewis Hamilton has talked about his worst fears coming alive when reflecting on the events of the 2021 F1 title decided in Abu Dhabi. We said we weren't going to talk about this. However, this is part of news, and I was meant to talk about it earlier, but I forgot. So, obviously, Luke and I, fully over it. Fully over it.
Kind of.
We're over it. You know. So Lewis Hamilton said, you start to see things unfold and my worst fears came alive. I was like, there's no way they're going to cheat me out of this. There's no way. That won't happen. Surely not. He said, I don't know if I can really put into words the feeling that I had. I do remember just sitting there just in disbelief and realizing I've got to undo my belt. I've got to get out of there and I've got to climb out of this thing. I've got to find the strength. I had no strength. And it was one of the toughest moments, I'd say, that I've had in a long time. I knew what happened and I knew what decision had been made and why. Yes, I knew there was something wasn't right. Reflecting on this moment with his father, Hamilton said he embraced me. And I think he was like, I want you to know how proud I am of you. Having you as a father, having your father embrace you like that is one of the profound things I've ever had. So basically, he's coming out and saying, you know, he was devastated by it. And he was actually, there was even one point where he was wondering if he ever wanted to come back to this sport. And he was just thinking during his race, surely they're not going to cheat me out of this. And he still to this day doesn't understand how it all happened.
Yeah, but I think that's the same as all of us. Yeah. Like, how has that happened?
I don't know.
You know, and I even think this with like Max fans. Surely you can appreciate it and sit there and be like, how did that happen? Like, come on. You know, I don't know. I have nothing more to say on it. Other than I just really hope he gets number 8.
Yeah.
From like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, whether you're a fan of Max or Lewis or anyone else on the grid, this is someone's lifelong work that they've put in.
Yeah.
Their whole being into.
And one guy
dismantled it with one decision.
Well, he, you know, Lewis has said, I'd be lying if I said that I hadn't thought about extending. I'm still on a mission. I still love driving. I'm still being challenged by it. So I don't feel like I am ready to give it up anytime soon. But he has said that actually the events did make him actually question whether this is a sport he... I still haven't learned from last week.
Support.
The sport which he wants to be part of. And he basically said, you know, I love the sport, but I did not agree with what had happened last year. And I think we, as all fans, you know, neutral or not, you would probably be in agreement. We don't agree with what happened last year. But it's quite interesting hearing him come out and talking about this now, because obviously it's been a few months, well, it's been a lot of months since that incident happened.
It's been like coming up for a year, really. Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's many people who would probably walked away from the sport. And for him, he's come back. He's, you know, continued. He's still performing at his best.
He still looks like, along with Max, the quickest driver on the grid.
Yeah, those two. There's no one close to them.
Yeah.
I don't think on the grid.
No, I think they're clear.
But yeah, it's interesting to finally hear him start talking about this now, because for us, we're all like fans watching it in disbelief and we're looking what is actually happening. But for him, obviously, we still don't really know what was said between him and his dad, but he did show a lot of strength to actually get out of that car and go and congratulate Max. His interview was brilliant. He was a true tramp, wasn't he? A true champ.
True tramp.
Not a tramp.
Yeah, no, he was. And I think everyone respected how he sort of dealt with it. He still got out of the car. He still went and congratulated Max, you know.
I just drove off. I just continued going.
Yeah, fuck that. Oh, mate, I would have. Yeah,
get on the main road.
Did he go on the podium?
Yeah. He...
Why did I say that?
Oh, the podium.
Not that boy.
Silver spoon. Yeah, he did. He was up there.
Wasn't spraying champagne, probably.
I can't remember if he did. I wasn't even looking at the screen then. I was probably crying.
Well, because obviously Michael Massey has come out and said that he's had to sign an NDA. He's not allowed to talk about anything. 21. Now, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, you're not going to learn any more here.
From an F1 fan, you want transparency, don't you? You if they'd come out and said, look, there was a mistake made, this is what happened, this is what we've learned from, but they still won't take full accountability for it, will they?
No. No, they completely try to like dust it under the carpet.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it didn't happen. You know, and I still find that baffling.
I do. You know, I also feel sorry for Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, it does tarnish his title.
No one's ever going to look at that title and go, oh, that's a year Max fully deserved that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, he did deserve it. He had a phenomenal season. And what I'm saying is that
everyone is going to look to that Abu Dhabi incident.
Yeah.
That's all.
No one's ever going to remember what happened in, like, Silverstone, his, you know, his phenomenal race in, you know, in the Dutch Grand Prix, a phenomenal race there, how dominant he was in Austria. No one's going to remember any of that.
Or Turkey, where he came through, Russia, sorry, when he came from last and finished second. And
no one's going to remember any of that. When you say, and this would be quite interesting, when you go around and speak to fans and go, okay, Max Verstappen, world champion, describe the most iconic moment, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
There's no one who's ever going to go, oh, yeah, there was that one time, you know, in Russia, he was really good. Yeah, he actually, you know, one's going to talk about that.
So, you know, it affected him as well. And, you know, he's going to go on and win number two. And I know, you know, he deserves it. But, yeah.
Your first title.
It's always your first.
It's always your first. And that's going to, you know, that's the way it's going to be. But, yeah, you know, I think it's quite interesting. But should we go on to fan questions?
Yes, enough of that Abu Dhabi stuff. I know you guys, if you're not Lewis fans, you hate it. To be honest, even as Lewis fans,
I still hate it.
Yeah, I hate talking about it. But
I can't watch it still without getting angry. Can you?
No, yeah, it upsets me.
We're not getting angry, but there's part of you going, no,
it ruins my day. Yeah. If I watch it, I instantly get sad. Okay, this is... I've got like my screen's broken, so I've got like some big like lightsaber running down it. So some of the questions are quite hard to answer, but this is quite topical. Do you think Hulkenberg has any chance of returning to F1? Because obviously there's a seat available at the moment.
I think he does. I think he's a good driver. He's not going to be that driver who stands out week in, week out, but he's consistent. You look at K-Mag, for example. Did you ever think you'd see K-Mag back in F1 after he left Haas? I personally didn't.
Well, he had some pretty strong words for F1 when he left as well, didn't
he? Yeah, he was. But, no, I would like to see Hulkenberg. I think he's good for the sport.
Do you not get sometimes a little bit bored of these, like, same recycled drivers that always come?
Yeah, I guess so. But
like, when I think there's such a big talent pool down in F2, and I mean, you can even look to, you know, Formula E. Well, do you know who's leading the Formula E championship at the moment? Stoffel Vandoorne.
Is he?
Yeah.
Or ex-McLaren driver.
Yeah.
He was crap, though, for McLaren.
Well, he's about to win his first championship. Nick de Vries is like down in like seventh or something.
Oh, and they won him in F1.
Yeah, stinking the gaff up. But, yeah, I think... I'd rather see someone fresh come into the sport.
Yeah,
now.
No, I'm with you on that, yeah.
If Lewis was in the Red Bull, who would win the championship, Max or Lewis? Oh, okay, so they're saying, like, if Lewis was Max's teammate.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I think we'd have a ridiculously good season, I'll tell you that.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, for sure.
This is the thing. I think you would go back to the aggression as you saw last year. I don't think you would see the whole, like, good teamwork like you see between Perez and Max.
No, of course not.
I think you would see all out.
Well, you've got two winners
at all cost. So
there'd be so many DNFs.
I think, yeah. For me, however much I hate to say it, I think Max would just edge it.
What, do you know why? Okay, so this was instantly what I thought. If they both had the Red Bull, Max would win. That car is designed for him.
Yeah.
If they both had the Mercedes, Lewis would win.
Yeah, yeah.
That car is designed for him. And if they were both in unspecific machinery, then I think it would get really interesting.
Like a Williams.
Yeah. Or stick them both in a tractor. Williams.
Put them both in a tractor.
Well, the Williams.
All right, put them in a Williams, yeah. Put them in a Williams. That's a good question. And it does pay me to say, but I think Max in a Red Bull would finish ahead of Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, I think that car is... You can see Max loves to fight the car, doesn't he? We know that. That's his driver's style. And, you know, maybe that's why Perez doesn't fare so well with the car.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a good question. I think, you know, stick them both in a Ford Fiesta. Stick him around the Nürburgring.
Ford K.
Then let's see who wins. Lewis. Did you know this? Have we spoken about this? I think I spoke to Glenn about it. It's rumoured that Spa will not be in the calendar next year.
Well, I'll put a post up on Instagram about it.
When?
Like last week.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm just here making content. What are your thoughts on that?
I like Spa.
Why do we keep getting rid of these good tracks?
Because they all seem to go for, like, commercialised, like, you know,
it's like, oh,
street circuits.
Yeah, let's race in this shopping mall in Dubai. No,
to be fair, Spa last year was a mockery.
But that wasn't the track's fault.
No, but on a whole, I like the track.
It's one of those proper racing tracks.
It's iconic.
It's, you know, we're getting fewer and fewer of them.
Yeah. No, I would be gutted if Spa...
It's honestly one of the best tracks.
Yeah. I think it's definitely up there for me, yeah.
That is...
Do you know what the track I was gutted when they got rid of it? Hockenheim, when it went through the trees.
Yes.
I love that.
I'm pretty sure that track used to be on Gran Turismo.
It did, yeah.
I love it.
That track. But no, I am... I'd be gutted if it does go. I would be.
So who will win in Spa? Mercedes, they're bringing upgrades. Lewis is going to win. You heard it here first. Hold me to it. I don't care. Laugh at me. I don't give a shit. I'm going to be right and I'm going to have the last laugh.
Do you know what? I'm going to get on the bandwagon now with you. After Hungary, I have hope. We are two...
Stupid.
Stupid Hamilton fans... And we're getting all aboard. Yeah.
You should get involved as well, you know. Follow a winner.
Or if not, I'd say Max.
Well, this is actually... someone's asking about Perez. You know we spoke about him wanting to stay on after his. So he's saying, do you think Perez will stay in Formula One with another team after Red Bull, similar to Bottas?
Yeah. I mean, he's come out and said he wants to.
It must be hard for those drivers... taking a downgrade. You know, when, you know, Bottas was never going to go anywhere better than Mercedes. No. Perez is never going to go anywhere better than Red Bull.
But I think they accept that. But that's why I think, you know, they won't go anywhere than like a mid-table team. So the likes of McLaren, Alpine.
Yeah, Bottas went to Alfa Romeo, who last season...
Yeah, I know, but he's...
They got less points than Williams.
I think they'll turn it around, Alfa Romeo. They have the potential there.
Yeah, I just can't see where he'd go. And now, leaving it on a Lewis Hamilton note, will Mercedes win a race this season?
Yeah, they will. And the reason why I say this is I think they'll win it, not necessarily through pace. I think they'll win it because reliability from a Red Bull or Ferrari.
Yeah, something will happen. And they'll be there just picking up the pieces.
Yep. See you later. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Take that. 25 points. Yep. Fastest lap. Happy days.
Nice. And it'll be Lewis.
Obviously. P2 in the Constructors. Thank you very much. But yeah, no, I do think they'll win a race this year.
I agree.
I think it's good.
Spa. That's when they're going to win.
We'll We said it, heard it here first. But guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. We have talked a lot of crap today.
Yeah.
Let us know if you've got any good collectibles. If anyone would like to add to our collection, let us know. But yeah, as always, thank you for all your support. We'll be back next week. Next week is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to next week. Yeah. We're going to pick our top 20 F1 grid. And this is like what we would like to see. So it's our opinions. But comment down below some of them which you actually go, oh, what about this driver? Give us some suggestions and we'll have a discussion next week about it. But Luke, have a good week.
Yep, you too.
And by the time this episode goes out, Latifi would have signed. Luke will have a cock on his face. And yeah, it'll be happy days. So until next week, we shall catch you later. Bye-bye.